Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD Podcast, where we interview local San Diego business leaders who are leading beyond profit and making a significant impact in the communities and businesses they lead. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, where we help companies unlock their greatest potential through a unique strategic planning process and project implementation. I want to give a shout out to the community business organization to support the podcast, the BBB, Conscious Capitalism San Diego, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're now on YouTube, so please follow, subscribe, and make a comment so we can build this community of purposeful leaders. Enjoy the show.
When you think about the future, is there anything more important than our kids? Today on the show, I'm excited to have a community builder and change agent that's focused on our children and business. Sid Vivek, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having, Jeff.
Sid is the president and CEO of Junior Achievement San Diego. You know, I can't believe it's taken this long for you to get you on the show here because we're all about San Diego, we're all about the kids, and we're all about business, so... You're the perfect combination.
Well, I'm glad we could make it happen.
Well, let's get started. Maybe a little backstory on what is Junior Achievement for anybody who doesn't know.
Junior Achievement of San Diego County is a 75-year-old organization that's part of a global network that's over 100 years old. And
kind of like the BBB here, the 100-year-old
exactly right.
organizations. Yeah.
Very similar and in a lot of ways aligned in our mission across the globe. And really that's focused on how do we empower and prepare today's generation of kids to succeed in tomorrow's economy.
Well, I hear so often the kids aren't prepared. You know, guys coming out of college, I saw something the other day, even folks showing up for college, like they have to go to like remedial math just to learn some basic math skills these days. So what are you seeing? I mean, are our kids, is our education system really kind of upside down? And what do you see? You're living it live.
Yeah, I wouldn't say upside down. I would just simply say as everything around us evolves, our education system continues to evolve, but perhaps the world is moving faster than the way we can adjust systems of education. And that's true for any sort of big ship, whether it's government, whether it's education, whether it's healthcare, those things don't just all of a sudden change. So I would say education has evolved, but we've got more to do. And as the world changes rapidly, and as geopolitical challenges around the world start to take hold here locally, it's even more imperative that this amazing talent we have, they're tomorrow's leaders. So it is our duty, it is our investment. When I think of ROI, there is nothing that has higher ROI than investing in young people.
Yeah, I think about kids today and I'm like going, I got everything I need to know here on my phone. That's been the case for a long time, but now we have AI, right, which is now elevating us to a whole nother level. It's like, what do you teach the kids, right? I mean, what do they need to know to be moving forward in this world?
Yeah, and I think that that's where things have changed. The goal now is not to teach content, it's to teach how to learn. One of my colleagues in at the Junior Achievement in Africa said something really profound, and she said, our goal is to teach kids how to solve. How to solve for their education, how to solve for career, how to solve to balance family. It's the ability to think critically and work in teams and communicate. They used to be called soft skills. I would tell you those are the only skills that matter if you ask corporate America today.
Yeah. Can you get along with people? Can you communicate? Yeah.
Because all the content is AI and other systems will allow the content to be taught. I mean, we used to tell kids you should go learn how to code. Now, without coding, people are developing software using AI will provide the syntax. You just need to have the vision and the brain.
So how was Junior Achievement making that happen? So yeah. If I showed up, what's the age group that you're working with?
Primarily, we work really starting in fifth grade,
okay.
as early as fifth grade. And almost up to 25 years old. And we work primarily through our education system, through our school districts, as well as community partners. And really what we focus on is experiential economic education. So whether it's how do you interview for a job or write a resume, or it could be as simple as how do I build a budget and live within my means? All of those kind of become the critical tools. But we don't just teach how do you do it. We teach the application of it. So we've created experiential opportunities. One of them is down in Mission Valley. It's become pretty popular in education, and it's called BizTown. And it's a mini city where more than 20,000 fifth graders in our region, almost 60% of the fifth graders in our region come through our facility every single year.
Oh, wow.
And they get jobs and they interview and they make money and they spend money and they learn at an early age what is workforce, what is career, what are the jobs that are interesting to me, what are my competencies, all of this starting as early as the fifth grade.
Oh, I love that. So I think one of the challenges is like, you know, you see something, or you see like, oh, I want to be a doctor because I went to the, you know, got sick or something. It's like, oh, I want to be one of those guys, or I want to be a cop because I watch cop shows. Then you find out that's not really what the job is, right? It's not like what you saw on TV. And even like we have like different functional jobs, like there's the marketing guy, there's the accounting department. You know, most companies have those functions. It's like, oh, I want to be in the surf industry. Well, okay, well, maybe the surf industry is an accountant, right? So I find that interesting trying to get people to understand that.
Yeah, and we assume that everybody knows everything, and that's just not the case. Even though they have these devices, most of our young people don't have access to the kinds of careers and jobs that their competencies might actually align to. If you've never seen a biostatistician or met one, do you know that that exists? Lucrative career. Yeah. If you don't know someone in cybersecurity, do you understand that, what it takes to get to it? So we, instead of talking about it or putting on in a book, we actually introduce our young people to folks in cybersecurity and in healthcare. We introduce people to folks working in genomics. And then we actually go a step further for our high school students, and we've created paid internships. Almost 200 students a year go to paid experiences across our county at companies like Deloitte and Illumina and Qualcomm and Cox Communications. And again, this goes back to, how do we ensure that our public systems like education are aligned with our private sector systems, who are going to be the folks who employ these young people?
Right. So you're a bit of a bridge between the two, trying to help communicate and figure out what it is we actually need.
I think in some ways our goal is to speak both languages. So how do we speak corporate America and how do we speak education?
Yeah, I love that. So how do kids actually get engaged with you in Junior Achievement? It's like, it's up to them to have the initiative to come find you guys, or are you at the schools kind of waving a flag, or how does that happen?
Yeah, it's a little of both. The answer is all of the above. It's a little organic. We're not a large shop. So while we serve total more than 35,000 students a year, we're a relatively small operation. So we rely heavily on our school district partners. So if you are at schools or districts that partner with us, our programs will be made available in the classroom or after school. And if you are part of local organizations, so we partner with organizations like the YMCA and Reality Changers and others. So if you are engaged in other organizations that are a partner of ours, but if you just visit our website, that's probably the easiest way. We receive a lot of calls from parents and other partners who say, hey, how do we get involved? And that's usually the start of a great partnership.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So how did you get involved? How did you get here, Sid? What's your backstory? I always love the story of like, I started out here. Kind of like the same. How did you get here? You know, what was your path?
And I think this is an important one for most young people, is that it was not linear. There was a lot of zigging and a lot of zagging. So I didn't grow up here in San Diego. I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Boston.
My parents immigrated here. I'm a proud Boston public school student. And left Boston after high school to go to school in D.C. I chased my dreams of getting into politics, got into politics, loved it, really loved policy more than electoral campaigns, but worked on both. And ultimately, and this is probably a story for a lot of people, I met a girl. And she was coming out here for law school, and I followed her. And I'm best decision I ever made. That girl is now my wife of 18 years. So it worked out. But that's what brought me to San Diego. And I've always worked at the intersection, even when I was working for a member of Congress. It was around education policy.
That's a great example, too. I mean, you think of politics, you think of the politician, right? You're like, yeah, there's policymakers. There's other aspects of government that – you know, make up what government does. And not understanding that, not having exposure to that, you wouldn't know, you know, that this is something I might want to get into.
And most people don't realize that while the politicians come and go, there are career public servants who work in all of these departments to make it go. Usually, so maybe sometimes that's not always the case, I mean, you know, strange times, of course, but yes. In general, there's a lot of really great people who work in government to help ensure that policy is made that benefits the most amount of us, and I would argue, make sure that it benefits those who are often most unseen and unheard. And that's really important, and that's what we focus on at Jay. So that's been sort of the through line for my career, from government to the private sector to nonprofits. Before the JA, I was at the YMCA for 11 years. And then I came here about in January 2019.
Oh, I love it. Good to have you in town here.
oh, this is home now. You know, this is...
I was a Boston guy, by the way.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, you know, there's a lot of us out here.
2 years of high school and 4 years of college. I can't say I was born and raised there, but I definitely spent a few of my early years there.
You know, I'm always going to be a Boston sports fan. That's how I was born and raised. I don't...
Well, we got some winners back there. We got to follow along, right?
Yeah. Well, they weren't winners when I was there, but they're winners now. But San Diego was home, and I'm a big fan of this region and all that it has to offer.
So share a story, one of these heartfelt stories. I mean, you see lots of great stories. Give me one of your top stories of one of the kids that's come into the program and some of the things that how it's turned out for them. And
yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of stories. And I think the one that I'll highlight is of a young person. And this is perhaps more illuminating than it is kind of story. But we had an event at Farmer and the Seahorse up on the Mesa there in an Alexandria property near the lodge at Torrey Pines. And we brought a young person from Lincoln High School who was a part of our program. And Lincoln is in Southeast San Diego, which, you know, as the crow flies is only 13, 14 miles away. And yet she made a comment that she had never been here. And she had no idea that these industries exist, all these biotech and life science and, billions of dollars being raised to do really critical, amazing work that is truly changing the world. And there's a young person really interested in science who had no idea that that was happening in our backyard. And I share that story to suggest that sometimes the opportunities for our young people are not worlds away. And yet 13 miles for some of our young people is worlds away. And so it's a really good opportunity for us to take a step back and say, wow, well, we've got all this great, amazing infrastructure for local business, both small and large. We're graduating young people every single day who don't see their place in those opportunities. And in some ways, for us, the story is there are 250,000 young people graduating in San Diego County every single year. And at the same time, I hear from companies, big and small, who say, we don't have the workforce we need to expand and innovate. Right. So to me, there's a disconnect because we've got people and we've got company and we've got jobs, and yet the two aren't necessarily aligning. And I think that's where our passion and our mission lies.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I always hear that statistic, how many, you know, openings we've got and don't have the people to fill these jobs. And meanwhile, you kind of have like people that can't find jobs. So clearly some sort of disconnect going on there.
Yeah. And again, I don't think it's a willful fault. I don't think it's an intentional avoidance of the local workforce, but there's clearly work we need to do to better prepare our students, as well as better inform our corporate partners of the opportunities that exist locally.
So this is a business podcast, right? We're talking to local San Diego business leaders. So how do you engage with the business leaders? I mean, our audience here, like, how do they go, oh, Junior Achievement, I've heard something about that. Like, how do we get after them? How do we get them excited about what you're doing and get engaged? What's the best way for those folks to do that?
Well, you know, I will tell you, my experience both in Boston and in D.C., San Diego is an unbelievably collaborative culture. And I think our business community really reflects that. So I want to start by saying I think our business community does a really great job. Now, there's a lot more that needs to be done, but I think our business community, we have the right leaders around town who I know are willing, who I know are interested. There's just going to be some sort of the devil's in the details in how we make that happen, but I think we're seeing that. And in a lot of ways, COVID created a need for workforce post-COVID after people were laid off. Now, when we came back sort of at full strength and folks were having trouble rehiring, I think it made it very clear of how, wow, we need to engage our local workforce in a way that's not transactional. And we need to do it earlier. We need our young people to see themselves in these workplaces down the road, not right when I need it today. So I think you see a lot of organizations, large and small, investing in workforce that is younger. I think you see a lot more programs that businesses that historically haven't worked. I'll tell you, I mean, we partner with a local company, a multinational called Deloitte that has an operation here, and they hosted high school students for the last 2 years. And that's something they've never done. They've only hosted, for the most part, have only hosted college students. I think they see an opportunity in their industry, one in which, you know, accounting is not necessarily going away, but they've got a workforce cliff. They've got a lot of people retiring. Right. And I think you see that across industries. As our baby boomer generation, one of the largest in the history, while they're working longer, they're eventually going to retire. And when that happens, who's here to sort of backfill all of those spots? And I think those are our high school students of today.
All right, so they're seeing the light. Start earlier.
Yeah, and I don't think it's an or strategy. I think it's an and strategy. And yeah. I think businesses see that, and I think as they get more efficient, they still see that our young people have a lot of skills when you think of Gen Alpha and these generations that are just now coming into the workforce. They are digital natives. They naturally are picking up conceptually how to use AI to be more efficient in their personal lives, if not professional yet. And so I think they're going to be really effective in the workforce, and it's just sort of helping getting them ready. So they've got some work to do, and our businesses have some work to do to be ready to take these young people.
Sure. So you use a word that's a trigger for me, the word collaboration. That's one of the things I really want to be focusing on here on the podcast, is how do we collaborate better? Because I think that's one of the big issues we have, is this lack of collaboration. Everybody's kind of like these little silos. And I saw something the other day that you were part of participating with Prebis and Workforce Partners and 40 organizations to actually have a program. Could you maybe talk about that a little bit? And how does something like that come together? Who takes the lead? And how do you make that collaboration happen?
Yeah, we're really proud. And I want to, you know, to be clear, we are a small part. We are one of 40 organizations. And it was really driven by several large players in our community who work deeply and literally every single day of the year, every hour of every day, with foster youth, with young people who have engaged with the foster youth system, either at a very young age or after they have left the foster care system. And so what we have found is those young people are often sort of, once they leave the foster care system, there are still supports that are needed, right? These are young people that have undergone, in some cases, tremendous trauma. At the same time, they are young people who are unbelievably resilient and tough in the best possible ways. They are unbelievably resourceful and entrepreneurial. So how do we take all of these talents and then help provide the supports that many of them either have not received or could not access at the time? And so this 40 organizations working on that. So that's from housing to food security to skills to jobs to mentorship, all sort of in a collaborative environment, so that we're not each doing a piece by ourselves, but we're doing all of it together.
So what does that look like? How do you guys make that happen?
Well,
as a facilitator, I'm very interested in, like, how's this collaboration
coming
together?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Who's taking the lead on this?
Meetings are happening. We're really excited that organizations like Just in Time for Foster Youth and Promises to Kids, the Workforce Partnership, Lifeline Community Services, JA, a variety of us are involved. And we've got our planning meetings coming up. We have the framework, so I don't want to get ahead of it and say too much, but all of that is in the coming months is actually being put together. And it will be more than just services. There will be data sharing. There will be case management that allows us to ensure, if we recognize a gap for a young person, that we engage the right organization in our collaborative that fills that gap, and that we don't wait for that young person to find the organization. We case manage that in the process. Exactly. And that's part of the goal of this collaboration. So I don't want to get ahead of it. There's more to come. And it's being worked out, but we're really excited. And we're really grateful to organizations like the Lucky Duck Foundation and the Prebis Foundation who see the opportunity. And in many ways, as a funder, and I think our corporate America has a really great opportunity here, as those folks with the capital to help move some of these collaborations, they very much encouraged it. They liked the idea. They didn't want to give to one person. They said, all right, how do we make sure this is comprehensive and collaborative?
Right,
and
so really solve the problem, yeah. Yeah, that foster youth, yeah. I mean, you can look at the foster youth, and I love the idea, like, whether they've learned how to survive, they're entrepreneurial at some level and have all these different kinds of skills, but not necessarily directly translatable into what the world's looking for. In fact, people go, oh, wait a minute, you know, is this the kind of person I want to hire? So it's like the challenge of, like, you know, how do you actually take that and evolve that? That's critical.
Yeah, and I think, you know, business has done this well in when they understand that when there are complex problems, you can't just solve for the thing that you do. When I think of, and I'll use the example of a behemoth, but when you think of Amazon, initially it was books, then it was more things. And when they realized that they had something, they said, well, you know, we're not just selling products, were also shipping them. So they went and understood and became the largest shipping company in the country, because what they recognize is, ooh, we need to understand that vertical to be better at this. I would tell you, in the nonprofit sector, one of the areas that we're getting better at, but we've got a lot of work to do, is we can't just do the thing we do. We need to understand all the other areas that affect it if we truly want to solve a problem. And I think us figuring that out is far more impactful to society than Amazon figuring their needs out.
Exactly. So you do a lot of this. What's the keys to good collaboration? How do you make collaboration work?
You have to go in with the right intent. You have to go in knowing that I'm a sports guy. I play basketball my entire life. Every good team means that we are a part of something bigger. And in some cases, that means we got to give up a little something. Maybe it's credit. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's staff time, but we're going to have to give a little something up to get to the bigger goal. I love telling our team the story of Michael Jordan, who led the league in scoring every year, but he was dropping 60 and they couldn't win a championship. It's when he started to realize, ooh, I need Scottie Pippen. Oh, I need these other folks to play well, so maybe I should only score 30, which is still impressive, but everybody else is doing the other pieces. That's when it really clicked. And I think I loved his Hall of Fame speech, to stick with it, when he basically said, you know, Scottie Pippen never won a championship without me, but I never won one without him either. Right. And I think of that, and I think of championships in the work that we do. And to me, successful collaboration means we all go into this knowing that there is something bigger and we all have to do what we need to do to get there. And so often that means giving a little something up, and it looks different in every collaboration. Right. But I think that's really important.
And you put the ego aside just a little bit to allow the bigger thing to manifest itself.
Yeah, if you're collaborating solely for the goal of doing something for yourself, then I think if you go in with that intent, that's going to fall apart.
Where does vision fit into that, right? So one of the things I think I always kind of go, and maybe you got a good answer to this, is what is our vision for San Diego, right? We have lots of problems and you hear a lot of problem solving, but like, what are we really trying to create? I mean, what's your thoughts there? Are we lacking a vision? I just haven't heard about it. Or what compels people to put their ego inside and say, I want to join that?
Yeah, I think I don't know that we're lacking vision, the term. Perhaps we are lacking one vision, but I would also argue I don't think a city, maybe an organization, you're selling a product, you have a vision and a goal. As a city, you're managing for and supporting and empowering so many different groups of people who have different needs and sort of end goals, that I don't know that one vision is the solution. But how do you create the platform so that everybody gets to their individual visions? And to me, that then becomes more, the city itself is only as successful as its residents. So the city itself is not the vision. The city is the platform for everyone to have their vision, to open their own business, to have their own podcast, to run a nonprofit, to, you know, do whatever it is they want to do. So how do you create a place that is, you know, provides the security and the platform and the resources and the infrastructure to do all of those things? I don't know the answer, but in my mind, the vision is not something we're lacking. I don't think. I think the us getting together to put all of those pieces together perhaps is where every city, you know, struggles. But I think there are some really great leaders in town who are working on that. And I think Grant Oliphant, the new CEO over the Prebys Foundation, who's become a friend, and I loved when he first got to town. And he, within the first few months, had identified and he came from Pittsburgh, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically challenged a bunch of us in a room. And he said, I think San Diego has so much going for it. I think we aim too low. I think we're not being bold enough here. And I think he's one of the people who is being bold in town in a way that is really sparking positive change. And in a time of turmoil, he's sparking a ton of, the Prebys Foundation and their collaboration with Price Philanthropies and the San Diego Foundation, all of them getting together, that to me shows strength. It shows stability. And it really is a great guiding principle for the rest of us. They could all have done their own thing, but they didn't. They all got together and said, no, we're going to show San Diego we can do this, and we're here for you. So we need to believe.
Yes, yes. Grant was on the show, by the way, back some time ago.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's a great, and again, so I think he's an example of one. There are many others who I think are really great leaders in our community, both by title and just by stature. There's some folks who maybe, some of us have never heard of, but who are great leaders in our community, and they should be equally heard.
Yeah. Grant had made the comment, which I always kind of never forgot, was that vision maybe comes from organizations like the Prebys Foundation because they're the long-term guys. Politicians, they got a term, they got their next thing they're trying to get to. Business is trying to get to the bottom line, trying to survive. So who's got that long-term vision? And he said, it's organizations like Prebys. So, yeah. And they're doing some great work. And I love this fact you pointed out, a lot of these guys that do Fundium come together to collaborate. So the more we can do that, I just think that's the answer.
Yeah.
Collaborate.
And I think to all of those foundations, those philanthropists, that to their credit, they're not trying to do it themselves. Again, they're creating platforms so that the people on the ground doing the work that they care about can go do that. I think that's the goal of philanthropy, but it's also the goal of our city.
Yeah, it's getting the experts around the ground that know what they need to do. How do you support them to actually get the work done you need to get done? I'm actually doing a little facilitation work with the Lucky Duck Foundation around the mental illness challenges we have here and with the homeless and all that. And I was challenged. We got a group of people together and we're starting to do some work, and my wife's involved in this. She says, it came out of the last meeting, I'm not sure you guys actually know what you're all trying to do. You all need to get educated first, right? So it's like sometimes, we want to jump in and do some things, but maybe we don't have all our ducks in a row. So
yeah, and the people on the ground have lived it, right?
Yes.
So there, even if there are different ways to do things, even if there are potentially better ways to do things, it's valuable to learn from the people who are living it day to day, because ultimately, they are the ones who have not just the knowledge but the experience.
Exactly. So we talked about collaboration. Another C word I got that I'm more excited about is the idea of community. How do we build community? Because obviously you're a community builder. What's the 1, 2, 3s of building a strong community? Sid?
Oh, man, oh, that's a whole nother podcast. I think that it's the other C's. It is communication. It's collaboration. It's being willing to think critically. And I say that because in community, we can't assume that we're all going to agree on everything. And we have to be thoughtful and kind, which is such a simple thing, but it's sadly missing in the world. And really a C that you'll appreciate, I think, is we need to be conscious, not just of capitalism, but conscious of those around us who may have differing views, but maybe just as amazing people as those who agree with us. So I think community is a beautiful thing. I think creating it is hard, but is frankly the only thing that matters. I mean, when I think of a city, that's all it is. It's a community of people. And when I think of our office, when I think of our organizations, they are communities of people.
Business is a small community, right?
Yeah. Business is
families are a community.
Absolutely. And so I think how do we create that in our city? I think that exists. And like I said, I've been in other cities. I have found San Diego to be unbelievably collaborative and cooperative. I found it to be very friendly, where I've seen other communities be a lot more parochial and territorial. So I love the community we have here. I believe that we have a community here. Now, there are still those who are often left out or haven't found their community or a community. And I think it's our goal to connect them, because I think that disconnection is leads to physical challenges and mental health challenges. And I'll use the example of my parents, who are now at a large senior living community in the Bay Area. And I can tell you, and they would say, it's added years to their life being connected to other people. And they don't always agree, and they don't see everyone every day, and they don't do everything together. But being in community has changed their quality of life for the better. And I think that's true for all of us at all ages.
That's a good point. Yeah. My parents lived in one of the senior locations. Same thing. It was like Now we're all retired. Now we all get to go play together. What are all the different things we can participate in? If you're off, like just living in your house by yourself, you're not going to have any of those connections. So it's so critical to come
together. Yeah, and in all our communities, the goal is that we share some through lines. We won't share them all. You know, in these senior communities, the through line is we're all of the same generation or so.
And all living under the same roof. So somehow we got to get together here and be a good community.
In organizations, we're all receiving the paycheck from the same, same organization. That's the community. Or we all believe in the same vision and goal. That's the community. But it doesn't mean we agree on everything. And I think that that's equally important. We can learn from each other in a community.
One of the things I always like to talk about, I think is kind of cool about San Diego, is we're kind of like our own little island here, right? We've got an ocean on one side, we've got a marine base on the other side, we've got a desert, and we got a border, right? So we're kind of in our own little space over here. And we are that big, small business or company or city, I guess, right? It's not too hard not to be able to find just about anybody here. You're only like one person away from knowing anybody. Like you mentioned Grant Oliphant. I know Grant Oliphant, right? I mean, what are the odds?
I think you're spot on. I mean, I think it's the 7 degrees, I think. Is it 6 degrees of separate? Yeah. Here it's like 2.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of separation. And yet there are still those who feel left out. And I think that is the goal of not just our city, but I think that's a goal of all of us in the community to ensure that we are inclusive of those who may not have community.
It's still a big city, though. I went to a fundraiser here last weekend with my wife, and it was kind of interesting. I got invited. I was kind of representing Conscious Capitalism at this, and there's a couple hundred people at this thing. And I looked around. I only knew one person, so it's like it's still a large place.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to guess that those people no folks that I know, right? They weren't that far away from me.
Right.
So what excites you about the future? What do you see coming down the pike here in San Diego or even the bigger picture that got you excited, Sid?
Yeah, I had a mentor who once told me there is opportunity in chaos. It's an old saying from The Art of War, Sun Tzu. And I would say we have a lot of turmoil and chaos. So there's a lot to be.
A lot of opportunity right now.
yeah. Using the quote, there's a lot. I mean, there is a lot to be concerned about. There's a lot to be angsty about. There is a lot to be worried about, frankly. And yet, yes, I think there is opportunity. And to me, it's in our young people. Again, it's part of the work that I do. But even as I see our young people graduate and go into their next phases of life, their success is ours. And I don't mean ours as in JA or Sid. I mean ours as in like our community, our young people going out. That's for our city. That's for our community, as we described it. So I'm always upbeat about if you ask my staff, they would tell you that my cup isn't half full. It is always full. And I don't think it's rose colored glasses necessarily. I think one of our core values is positivity. Not that every day is good or that everything is going to be okay, but that we believe in what's possible. We believe in and we hope in, not just hope, but we work towards what's better. That's how I see life. That's how I operate at home and at work. And so if you ask me, like, what am I excited about? I'm like, a lot. It's our young people. I'm excited about the innovations happening in healthcare and medicine. My mom is 80 and my dad is 90. They were born at a time when the average age was a lot less than it is now. And again, when I think of the marvels that are happening just up the street here and in sort of our Torrey Mesa area with all the biotech and life science companies working on cutting edge medicines, I think there's some really exciting things happening there. So I think there's always something to be excited for. The flip side is also true. There is always something to be negative about as well.
Easy to find those.
Yeah, I just choose to look I recognize them, I acknowledge them, I want to name those, but I choose to look at what's possible.
So at a personal level, do you have any practices that you have to try and keep yourself upbeat, and be it food, health, spiritual, or whatever?
I don't. I love I love basketball, so I don't play as often as I should, but I watch, and my son is now playing, and my kids are really the thing that just keep me so excited, okay. You know, because my wife and I we've been there 14 and 11 now, and I'm around kids every day at work, and then I go home to my kids and see them. And the combination of the two, I'm telling you, man, if you spend enough time around the young people in our community, you would be nothing but excited. You would walk around with a smile on your face. And those who say that this generation is disaffected or apathetic, they don't spend enough time around these young people. I would tell you that. Anybody who works with young people today, I think, would tell you the same thing.
So it's the energy, the optimism of youth that keeps you going.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. They're growing up in a different generation than we did. So it doesn't mean that we'll see eye to eye on everything, just like in any community. But they've got so much to offer, and they're so talented. And the future is bright thanks to them.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Conscious Capitalism has this internship program they've been doing with USD. And the next round is going on, and Conscious Capital themselves actually is going to have one of the interns. And so USD does all the filtering of the resumes, and they send every company that's involved 3 resumes. So
we're one of the companies.
All right.
We got our resumes.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
I looked at these 3 resumes that we got. I went, oh, my God. I actually sent to my wife, go, look at this. These kids are like unbelievable. And last year's intern, same thing. When I met those folks and the kids, I mean, like, oh, I'm feeling good. I think the future's going to be okay when you have a chance to hang out with some of these kids. Right?
That's exactly it. They literally lift my spirits every day.
Yeah. So you got that going for you. The kids running around you.
I am very lucky, and I encourage anyone who, if you're ever feeling down, give me a call and come see what we do. But more importantly, come talk to some of these young people. I think you will be inspired. Yeah, exactly. You will be inspired.
Yes. Well, it's about time to put a little bow on this, Sid. Always like to ask the question, what's like the one big thing you want people to remember? If they didn't remember anything else out of this conversation, what's the one thing you'd like them to remember? The big takeaway.
I would want them, we are a part of a community. And so when I think of the future of our community, that's not just young people. That's not just education. And that's not just government. And that's not just our business community. It's all of it working in lockstep. All of it working aligned, not always at the same purpose, but aligned to similar goals. And I believe those goals exist. I believe we all want at the end very similar things. Perhaps, you know, they look a little different depending on the sector you're in or the organization. So I think as long as we stay focused on the fact that we actually do want very similar things. We want safety. We want to be able to afford a home. We want a job. We want to be able to raise kids. If you're a business owner, I want to be able to make money and pay my employees. We all want those things, and they're all aligned across. And so, again, I would say if we get out of our offices, that's why I say my goal is not JA related. It's more community related. It's like, how do we ensure that we remind ourselves that, hey, we're all a part of something bigger? So what's my role on the team?
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's your basketball talking right there, right? Even Michael Jordan couldn't do it all by himself. So we got to do it as a team.
No one can.
Well, Sid, I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate the impact you're having on our community here, because you're playing a big role in this. So thank you very much for that and all the work you're doing in Junior Achievement.
Thanks so much for having, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.